morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7. Today is Monday, February 2nd, Groundhog's Day, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, a whole half hour of headlines and commentary in less than 10 minutes. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Punxsutawney Phil emerged from his luxury burrow this morning, saw his shadow, and went back to sleep, so that means more winter for everyone.
The Clatsop County Commission is debating a proposed cap-and-trade charade.
And eastern Washington wells are tapping into 10,000-year-old aquifers that cannot be restored.
Portland area weather, partly sunny this morning and then mostly sunny this afternoon with temperatures in the 50s. And then tonight, mostly clear with lows in the low 40s.
And first we go to regional headlines. The Oregon International Port of Coos Bay has been trying to buy a 110-mile stretch of rail line from Eugene to Coquille. If it's not able to accomplish that, the steel and the land, everything will just be scrapped. And this is coming at a time when costs of shipping freight have doubled and tripled. We have joining us this morning Martin Callery, Director of Communications and Freight Mobility for the Port of Coos Bay. Good morning, Martin. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I'm glad to participate.
Well, talk a little bit about this. It seems completely a crazy idea, I think, to me. It seems like rail lines are becoming increasingly important. When we see the cost of gas and diesel start to climb again, as we certainly will, we'll be relying heavily on rail lines. Can you talk about what it means to the port of Coos Bay?
Well, our primary intent on trying to acquire the rail line and restore it to service is in support of the existing industry here on the South Coast. There's a couple of sawmills here in the immediate area, one down at Coquille, Oregon, one out on the north spit of Coos Bay, a Georgia Pacific mill, basically in Coos Bay, and then some other smaller shippers, plus American Bridge up at Reedsport. That existing industry represents about 700 to 750 jobs, and if you use a very conservative multiplier of 3, you're talking about an additional 2,200 jobs that could basically go away from this area if we do not maintain rail service for these industrial operations.
So the cost, the port still needs, what is it, more than $12 million to this
well,
short?
The price set by the Surface Transportation Board at the end of October was $16.6 million. Now, very frankly, we don't agree with that price. We believe that the Surface Transportation Board failed to set a net liquidated value, which was their obligation under their own statutes, but that's the price tag we have to work with. And so we're moving forward. We have $4 million from Connect Oregon grant. We have not quite $8 million. It's actually $7.2 million from a previous authorization of the surface transportation bill at the federal level. And we have a gap in there. And that gap looked like it was going to be filled back in the third quarter of 2008 by some commercial lending, but with the credit crunch that all of our financial sectors are going through, most of that has dried up. Now, we're working right now with a group of state officials and some other private sector lenders to fill that gap, and, you know, we're cautiously optimistic that that's going to happen by the deadline.
Martin, thank you very much for that. We certainly wish you all the best hope that you succeed in restoring that rail line. That was Martin Callery, Director of Communications and Freight Mobility for the International Port of Coos Bay. Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
A Clatsop County Commission meeting originally promised to answer the question of how the county could benefit from cap-and-trade legislation. No dice. Instead, presenters spent their time explaining why 650 scientists worldwide dispute the new notion of global warming. The hour-long presentation had local science experts shaking their heads at the use of public time. One called it misrepresentative of the science.
And mythology, too. A study of the groundwater in four Columbia Basin counties found that deep wells are tapping 10,000-year-old water left by the last ice age, and the aquifer is not being recharged. In fact, it cannot be. The study released by the Columbia Basin Groundwater Management Area found that overpumping will cause what one of the authors called a race to the bottom. The study found some recharging of upper-level wells by surface water, but all water is not being replaced because it lies beneath layers of impermeable basalt.
Oregon's snowpack is pretty close to average, but far below the gargantuan snows of last winter. John Lee is a hydrologist with the U.S. Natural Resources Conservation Service in Portland. He found a snowpack 89% of average.
Portland entrepreneur Jim Keene says that he wants to build a Central Oregon resort. Obviously, Jim Keene hasn't been following the water news. He says that his deal is going to be greener and smarter than the golf-based resorts all over the area. This project is being promoted as the kind of eco-friendly business that Kulongoski has been touting. But the opposition to Keene's Matolian Resort, and he's got another second, even larger one proposed for the basin. Huge opposition is coming from environmentalists, the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs, and also a few influential state leaders, but not enough. So call your influential state leaders, everyone.
Last week, a federal judge denied a request by the Humane Society of the United States for a stay of his order, allowing three western states to resume capturing or killing sea lions that feed on salmon at the base of Bonneville Dam. The U.S. District Judge Michael Mossman ruled in November against the Humane Society, which is trying to prevent the killing.
Well, if you want to start shooting animals that eat too a lot of salmon, we start higher up the food chain, I would think. Perhaps the main predator. The proposed Paloma liquefied natural gas pipeline would break several environmental laws on that national forest land. So what the Forest Service is doing is changing the laws to accommodate the pipeline. Why? I don't know why they still call it the Forest Service. I think we should just call it the Pipeline Service.
The Logging Service.
The Logging Service. Amy Harwood of BARC joins us this morning to talk about a deadline. It was extended, and now we're right up against it again. Good morning, Amy. Thanks.
Good morning, Chris.
Thank you. Talk a little bit about about what we can do. There is a deadline coming up for public commentary. What can we accomplish here?
Yeah, the Forest Service has had a public comment period open since about November, and it's going to be closing this coming Wednesday. Currently, the Palomar pipeline would be an illegal action as it crosses, as you said, through old-growth forests and rivers with wild and scenic designation in the Mount Hood National Forest. So the Forest Service is being told to change their standards to enable the pipeline's construction, and they're currently collecting public input on these changes. And BARC has a lot of information on this important issue, as well as information about the pipeline's connection to the controversial liquefied natural gas proposals on our website, www.bark-out.org. And we also have a lot of information about how to participate in public commenting and making sure that your voice is heard. I think it's very important to give the Forest Service as much support as possible by having the many thousands of Oregonians who are against these pipelines to weigh in on this public comment period. They need support to be able to deny these changes.
It seems amazing to me that they just decide to change the laws to accommodate the corporations that want to build a pipeline. Amy, thank you so much. That, of course, was BARC Out's Amy Harwood joining us by phone this morning. Thank you so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Oregon House Republicans are offering a tax credit proposal as their alternative to a $176 million public works job package. They say the jobs package is fiscally irresponsible and does little to help the economy. The House Republicans said the state should give tax credits to homeowners and business owners who want to remodel houses and offices.
Wait a minute, Liam. So I understand this correctly. We're going to give people who own homes huge tax credits if they remodel a kitchen, right? Meanwhile, the Portland area is participating in a nationwide count of homeless people. Don't have anything to remodel, and it will in no way benefit from the GOP's plan. Many of the homeless are in that situation for the first time in their lives right now. Last Wednesday night, Human Solutions staffers and volunteers went out to count how many people are actually living on the street. That count will be used to assess the nation's homeless population and identify social service needs. I can identify them. They need a house. They need somewhere to live. Where's my check for $50,000 as a consultant? Results are still coming in, but obviously the economy has already put many people out on the streets.
A python, a boa constrictor, a tortoise, and a lizard walked into a bar. No, they were saved by Spokane firefighters in a house blaze over the weekend. The firefighters also saved several dogs, but that's nothing after the snakes. The firefighters say no one was home at the time of the fire. They believe it started in the basement and worked its way up to the attic.
You can't get them to come if your cat's up a tree anymore, but they'll show up if you've got snakes. Well, we go now to D.C. Dirt with KBOO's Spencer Raymond. Questions of the day, of course, will Tom Daschle ever make it to the helm of Health and Human Services? Will the thundering head of lobbyists in the Obama administration trample change into the K Street sidewalks? Spencer Raymond is with us to sort it all out. Good morning, Spencer. Thank you so much for being back with us.
Thank you. Good morning, Chris.
So we've got there's a lot going on, most of it under the surface of K Street. There was an interesting article by Robert Schlesinger in U.S. News and World Report. He writes, let's be clear, Tom Daschle is not a lobbyist, which is good, because the Obama administration does not employ lobbyists, mostly. And then we go on through the article. What do you think that Daschle's chances are?
Well, you know, he's going to be confirmed as the leader of Health and Human Services. That's a given. But, you know, what came out yesterday was he didn't pay some of his taxes, $120,000 worth of owed taxes that Daschle did not pay for whatever reason. He has paid them since. He paid about $12,000 in interest on that money that he didn't pay. But he's in front of the Senate Finance Committee so currently. And remember, the way the Senate works for confirmations for cabinet posts is that the nominee goes to the committee first, in this case the Senate Finance Committee. Once the committee approves the nominee, then it goes to the floor of the Senate for a complete vote. I mean, this is something that, Tom Daschle is a respected lawmaker. He's been in Washington for many years. Remember, he was majority leader for a good part of the time in the late 90s and first couple years of the 2000s. So this is not something that's going to totally derail him. It doesn't look good for Obama. It doesn't look good for Daschle, of course, but he should be able to get through the Senate Finance Committee and onto the floor for a vote, hopefully this week.
The thing, too, that one can't help but notice here is that Daschle has also agreed to be the founding chairman of what's described here, a world-class executive advisory board of industry and regulatory experts for a new investment firm run by a fellow, I don't see his first name, but it's Mr. Hindery. In addition to lending the prestige of his name, Daschle has been traveling to help raise money from investors for this new venture. That seems, I don't know, conflict of interest, or am I being paranoid?
Well, it depends on exactly what he's doing with the monies raised and how that affects his job as Health and Human Services chief at the cabinet level there. And that's something that the Senate Finance Committee will weed out in his confirmation hearings.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens. He will be confirmed, though. That's pretty much a given.
So, that's right.
Thank you so much, Spencer. That, of course, is KBOO's Spencer Raymond, bringing us D.C. Dirt. Thanks so much, Spencer.
Thanks, Kim.
Despite a near collapse that required $45 billion in bailout funds, Bank of America sponsored a five-day carnival outside the Super Bowl stadium last week. This while President Obama decried a wasteful spending on Wall Street, the bank staunchly defended its sponsorship. They said it was a business proposition and part of its growth strategy.
And one final item here. Obama has allowed one controversial war on terror tactic to remain in place. Yes, we're still going to have extraordinary rendition.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Monday, February 2nd, Groundhog's Day, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Steve Nassar. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
Hello, Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio station at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only helps us keep subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, If You Love This Planet, host Dr. Helen Caldicott speaks with Bob Herbert, op-ed columnist for the New York Times. They'll talk about the changing political landscape in the U.S. and the new Obama administration.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.